Welcome back to another episode of I'd Rather Be at the Beach. My name's Simon Jones, and today I'm at the Independent School Show Summer Fair at the Hurlingham Club in London. This event is different to the November event that happens at Battersea, which tends to be a much bigger event. But one of the things I wanted to find out is whether this event here is less good because it's smaller, or whether it's more exclusive and more intimate in that sense, or whether there's a different reason why David Wesley puts this event on. And so I'm here really to find out what's going on and what the difference is between these two events. If you're an independent school and you tend to exhibit at different events around the country, around the world, then this could be a good podcast for you to listen to if you want to find out the difference yourselves. I'm stood outside the venue right now. We're going to step on inside and find out what's going on. So come with me now. I'm with Laura at Rugby School. Laura, hi, how are you doing?
I'm really good, thank you. Nice to meet you again.
It's good to see you again. Yeah. 3 years ago since I last saw you.
Absolutely.
So do you normally come along to this event and the other event in Battersea?
So for the first time, rugby are representing at Hurlingham, and we're also going to be in Battersea. And we're going to be exhibiting with Bilton Grange, the prep school, which is part of our group. So we're looking forward to having a joint stand in November.
So Bilton Grange, that's Gareth Jones, isn't it, the head?
It's Gareth Jones, yep. They're part of the rugby school group. So the only prep school that we have in our group, and they're a couple of miles out of rugby. So the pathway that we are developing between students at Bilton Grange and rugby school is really strong.
Nice, I like that. Next time you see Gareth, do tell him I said hi.
I will.
Because he's a great guy. I remember him from St Andrew's Prep in Eastbourne.
Yeah.
So clearly we're at the start of the day here.
Yeah.
What's the kind of feel that you got for this event?
It's very steady. I think there's a lot of parents who are looking to explore options. I think the tension around the 11 plus pressure, certainly in central London, is palpable. And for rugby, we like to really champion the alternative to that intense preparation for 11 plus.
Laura, I'll leave you to it. I hope you have a good show. Thank you
so much. Good to see you.
So I've just picked up the Good Schools Guide. In this world of being paperless and all of that jazz, this is the biggest, heaviest book I've seen in a long time. This could be in a library or something like that. One of those really old libraries with old books. It's massive. I see Sevenoaks School over here. Jesse is the head there. Just did a podcast recording with him for HMC. They've got a podcast which we're managing for them, and Jesse was on an episode, I think episode number 3 for their channel. It hasn't been released yet. And he's in discussion with Tom Lawson, the head at Eastbourne College, who's hosting their podcast, and a number of other heads as well. I think there's 4 heads in total on that recording. It's a good episode. I can't wait for you to hear it. I've just bumped into Magnus Basharat. Am I saying that right?
That's right, Simon.
From Maida Vale School, part of the Gardiner Schools Group. Magnus, you were here last year, but you're also part of a school group, and you go to the Battersea event as well. So tell me a little bit about about what it's like being part of a school group, but also being here exhibiting at this event compared to the Battersea event.
I think being 4 schools in one group, obviously there is a lot more resource in terms of support for marketing, HR, all that kind of thing on a practical business level. But it also means that I've got 3 other fellow heads that I can spend time with, talk to, reflect on best practice and learn from. There's lots of changing and swapping of ideas amongst the group. And Will Williams, who's the head at Q House, his school's been going for 10 years and is full and successful. So there's definitely a feeling that within the group, we've got a template for success. And it's not just following that template, but it's definitely learning from that. So there's definitely strength in numbers and strength in collegiality and having people that I can refer to.
And do you think the whole threat of VAT is another reason why it's important for schools to be stepping up their marketing to attract more people?
I think the threat of VAT means we should be resourcing marketing at least 20-25% more than we have done in the past. I think that's a real and present danger for us to engage with. But I definitely think those schools that are well-run and well-resourced and agile are going to be able to meet that and just carry on communicating the offer.
I like that. So more resourceful, so not necessarily stepping up the budget, but just getting as much as possible from the budget to maximise the marketing capability from it.
I think that's true. I think that parents are still going to make the same choice about value for money. And we read a lot about sacrifice and the financial sacrifices that parents make.
Lovely. Magnus, I'll leave you to it, but thank you very much.
Cheers, Simon.
I see Magoo on stage from Knightsbridge School. Magoo is a great character. He's talking about his school, and he's doing it very enthusiastically as well. I'm with Ian Reid at Benenden. Ian, this is your first time.
First time, yep.
Okay, so here we are. We're about 1 hour into the event. How do you find, I mean, to me it seems buzzy, but how do you find it?
Yeah, it's really busy, having lots of parents come over. Lots of them don't know much about Benenden yet, but then when we've spoken to them, they've seen some of the imagery of what we do. We've talked to them about what the girls at Benenden do. They go away happy, and we look forward to welcoming them down to Kent soon.
And you've got a change of head coming up, haven't you?
We do indeed, yes. So after 10 years, our head is leaving to go to a co-ed school over in Surrey. And then we're delighted to be welcoming Rachel Bailey from Royal Masonic Girls' School, who's going to be joining us in August and taking us to the next level.
Very good, very, very good. Well, I hope you have a good show here. Don't stop drinking your coffee, because that certainly looks very good. In fact, how is the coffee here?
It's not bad, actually. Not as good as you get at Benenden.
I like that. I'll have to come along and experiment with it. Ian, good to talk to you. Thank you.
Pleasure. Thanks, Simon.
So I just bumped into Hayley from Tunbridge School. Hayley, you're the Director of Marketing and Admissions, is that right?
Correct. Yeah, absolutely.
Great. Now, you're here exhibiting next to Benenden School. Benenden being a girls' school, you being a boys' school. But also, proximity-wise, you're geographically close to each other as well. Tell me a little bit about that. Tell me something about that.
Yeah, no problem. We're not actually co-located with Benenden, so we don't share a campus. But you're right, we're about 25, 30 minutes away from each other. And we've always had a very close relationship with Benenden. We have our boarding houses, each are twinned with a boarding house at Benenden. We do an awful lot of work with ARPRIs and their grey jumpers, as they're called, their prefects. And so whether it's academic, whether it's co-curricular, whether it's actually just socials and having a good time, and hanging out and having fun, we've always had a really, really close relationship with Benenden, so it's good to be with them here today.
Now, tell me something about the traffic that's coming along, because I had to wait for about 5 minutes until you were free. Now, there's nobody here, which is great for me to talk to you, but actually it's good for you when there's lots of people stopping and talking and making inquiries and stuff like that. How do you measure if an event like this is going to be successful?
Yeah, that's a really tricky one actually to answer, because sometimes you may start off with a slow footfall, which has not been the case actually here today. It's been great, it's been positive from the get-go. But occasionally you'll start off with a quite slow start and you think, well, hold on, what's going on here? But it always, always comes good. I have to say, these events are usually very, very helpful to us. So you can never tell is the answer to the question. But I think it's the kind of questions that families are asking rather than the number of people coming to your stand. I think that's what's interesting to us. You know you've got quality families coming to an event like this who are asking the right questions about, for us, single sex boarding, and they're also asking about what life in the boarding school is like. They're also talking about the admissions process, they're talking about the pastoral care, so we know ballpark we're in the right spot to be giving that information out to the right families.
Solid advice there, I like that. Quality, not quantity. Hayley McClintock, great to talk to you. Tunbridge School, thank you very much.
Thanks so much.
Tom Dawson here from Sunningdale School. Tom, I remember last year you were exhibiting here in the same place.
Yep.
Do you feel like it's important to exhibit in the same place each year? Or is it just like more convenient that way?
I hadn't thought about that. We were allocated this spot, but actually now you mention it, it probably is quite a good idea, because then people can identify where you are and come and see you, hopefully deliberately. There's quite a good circulation around the room. There's quite a good natural path for visitors to follow. So that works really well. It is nice being near the stage because we can hear the speakers. But it's also nice to be near some really good senior schools. That definitely helps as well.
And do you exhibit at the November event in Battersea as well?
Not any longer.
Okay. So do you find this event is a better event for you then?
I think for us this is a better event. I think that we get some more, some parents with greater intent that are really quite clued up about what they want and what they're looking for, and that definitely helps us.
Okay, that's really good to hear. Tom, I'll leave you to it. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Simon.
So, as always, there is a good buzz at this event. I'm stood in the centre of the atrium area right now, right next to the stage where various schools give different talks, giving advice and thoughts, recommendations to the prospective parents that are here. And, of course, it gives them a chance to plug their schools indirectly as well, I imagine. I can see David Wellesley-Wesley at the far end. He's engrossed in many conversations. That man is busy at an event like this, understandably so. I'll try and catch up with him a little bit later on. Sally Taylor here, Royal High School in Bath. Sally, you're part of the GDST group. How do you find that works when you're here exhibiting? Do you find that there are other GDST schools here? I'm not sure, actually. I haven't seen any others.
So we're unique in the GDST in that we're the only boarding school. So historically, there have been GDST schools in the day London Day section, but actually we're the only ones here today.
Because you're right on the doorstep of Putney, of course.
We are indeed. Yeah, no, absolutely. Well, we do lots of collaboration with our sister schools. We do activities and sports rallies and all kinds of different things.
Now, Sally, do you come along to the November event as well in Battersea, or is this just the one that you do?
So the last one we did come as part of the GDST, and we talked about GDST boarding. Actually, if I'm really honest with you, when we come as Royal High School Bath talking about boarding, it's a stronger message. But what people do love to see is the GDST brand and the fact that we've got all that research that supports what we're doing, and the fact that we are definitely an all-girls school by design.
Yeah, it is a very strong brand, isn't it, GDST? So how do you find the difference then between November's event in Battersea and this event here?
This is the first time we've done this event. But I think because the market is very clearly, much more clearly defined, 11 plus and 13 plus families looking very specifically for this, whereas I think in Battersea it tends to be people who are much more speculative, whereas here I think they're at the point of a decision or a little further down the pipeline.
So you find that at this event there are parents coming along that have already got children maybe at a prep school somewhere,
yeah.
So they're already paying school fees, they're already in the whole system of independent schools,
yeah.
And now they're just looking for the next senior school.
Yeah, absolutely. And the other thing that's noticeable is there are no children at this event, whereas at the ISS in Battersea, there are children everywhere. So actually, you can have a much more constructive conversation with a parent. They're definitely more interested and more sort of certain about what they're looking for.
Yeah, I imagine that makes it a lot easier for the parents to have conversations without them thinking about what their children are getting up to or their
yes.
children getting bored.
Yes.
And yeah, I mean, we don't like children running around. Ugh, horrible things.
I'm not sure that was the best PR for a school.
I'll leave you to it. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm with Jenny Price now at Godolphin School in Salisbury. Jenny, hello, first of all. How are you?
Hi. How are you? Yeah, I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Very good indeed, thanks. Very good. I've been admiring your digital display that you've got here. A lot of schools have turned up either with one of those like curved shaped banners or one of the pull-up banners, the classic pull-up banners you can take on a train. You've got a digital display, which means it's changing and you can have different things on there. Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, 100%. I think that's the way we're moving, isn't it? Change is the only constant now in education. So we've bought our technology today. It means that we can show lots of different aspects of the school with just one screen, and it changes automatically. We've got it preloaded and we can change whatever images we want out there depending on what's going on at school at the moment.
Now, for anyone listening to this on the podcast version, we've also got this as a video, so check out the link that goes with this podcast to actually see what we're talking about right now. But Jenny, you can put these alongside other screens, is that right?
Yeah, that's right. So we've got a set of 10 of these screens. We actually asked our Parents Association to buy them for us, and we can use them all over the school. So we can use them for a video night, we can use them as a quiz night, we can use them as just a display screen, or you can have them split, and you can have sort of one in your visitor's room, you can have one in your theatre to advertise what's going on and the school concerts and things. So they're actually really versatile, and you can have them horizontal, or you can have them vertical, so you can create the sort of different size of scenes. So they're actually they're really good value for money.
And when you put them all together, if you put all 10 together, does it turn into one massive screen?
Yeah, absolutely. So that's one massive screen that we might use for a boarders movie night, or we use that actually for our parents' station quiz night. But yeah, really versatile, and I would absolutely recommend them.
Hang on, movie night. I love the sound of this. I might have to get these at home.
Yeah, absolutely. You can put them out and you can have, bring in your duvets and have your boarders all in front of them and play, their favourite film. Attach it and have your Netflix or whatever it is playing, and you've got a great evening for, Friday night movie night in the boarding house.
I love it. Jenny Price, thank you very much.
Thank you.
I'm with Becky Keeble now at Royal Hospital School. Becky, you're relatively new in your position. Well, what position is it? Just tell everyone.
Director of Marketing and Admissions.
Okay, so relatively new in that position. And what were you doing before that job?
I was the head of UK recruitment at the University of Essex.
Okay, so you've gone from university life to independent school life. How are you finding that? And, well, actually, how long ago was that you moved across? And how are you finding that transition into the schools market?
So I moved across in March, in mid-March, so relatively fresh to the independent sector. And it's been a bit of a whirlwind journey, so a really busy term to come into, and also quite a challenging environment. I'm sure that everyone in the independent sector sympathises with the pace of change that's happening at the moment and everything there is to keep up with. Distinct parallels from the higher education market, so it really does give me a good footing. But I think some of the biggest differences I see are are in the audience, so working very closely with parents and the nuances that come with that from a marketing and admissions perspective, but also in the scale. So coming from a university, we had quite extensive resources at our fingertips, quite extensive sizes of teams, so really nice to have that level of impact that we feel being a smaller team, but actually it's more challenging to meet the needs of a very sophisticated marketing environment.
It sounds like a really polite way of saying that you want more marketing budget, is that right?
I mean, lots more people would be amazing.
Okay, well, a shout out to Irfan then. Irfan, when you arrive, Becky would like some more marketing budget. I'm going to get myself in trouble here.
You will, Becky.
I'll leave you to it, but thank you very much.
Thank you, it was lovely to speak to you.
So I'm with Sabrina from St. James's Senior Girls and Senior Boys. Sabrina, you're normally at this event and also the November event. Tell me about the difference you find between the two events.
Excellent, that's a good question. So I would probably say this event is very much focused on year 7 entry points and year 9, whereas at the November event, we very much cover all three of our schools, so our nursery and a prep. Parents are sort of starting to think about what's the right school for my child, or what do I know about the independent education sector, whereas this is slightly more focused and geared towards, okay, my child's in prep school or maybe they're in a state school, what are their next steps and what can the independent sector give to my child as they move through education for themselves.
And looking around at some of the other exhibition stands, some people have got tables and chairs, some people are sitting down. I notice here you don't have any chairs at all. You're on your feet all day, but I guess that means that you're ready to welcome people as soon as they arrive in your stand.
Absolutely, and guess what? It's a point of difference. So if you look around the room, everyone's got the same. And this allows St. James schools to stand out. And also, as you rightly pointed out, it just means we're more welcoming, it's more open, and just that more relaxed way of approaching conversations.
But it does mean you're on your feet all day. I'm looking down at your shoes. They look like comfortable shoes to me.
They're very comfortable and they're sparkly, so it's all good.
Lovely. Sabrina, I'll leave you to it. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Simon.
Right, so I've just stepped outside the door just to get a little bit of fresh air and to stretch my legs a little bit, because when you're inside, it is a fairly small space. It is a much smaller space than the November event in Battersea. So you do tend to find that you're reaching from one stand to another stand very, very quickly. Stands are closer together than they would be if you're at the Battersea event. If you can picture that event, maybe you've never been to the Battersea event before, in which case you might not know what I'm talking about, give it a quick Google online and you'll notice that the stands in Battersea are further apart from each other. But that said, what it does mean inside is that it feels like it's a much more intimate space. It feels like there's more activity, more buzz going on than the Battersea event. I'm learning, of course, that it is a different target market. Well, not entirely different target market, but certainly a different focus when it is looking at 11 plus and 13 plus compared to everything plus in the Battersea event. But actually, stood outside, even though I am getting a bit of fresh air and I can stretch my legs, it is starting to rain. So I'm going to head back inside. So one of the things that I'm realizing is that every year when parents come along to this event, generally speaking, it's going to be a high turnover of parents. Maybe some of the parents that are here now were here last year. Some of them that are here now will be here next year. But say in 3-4 years' time, none of these parents are going to be here. From a marketing manager point of view, it just means that you're permanently dealing with a high turnover of your target market. That's got to be quite hard going on you. I'm with Louise North, principal at Framlingham College. Louise, your first time exhibiting here. How are you finding it? I mean, here we are at, 12:30. Yeah. How are you finding the whole event?
It's full of buzz, lots of people here, lots of people interested in finding out about, you know, the best direction for their child's education. Yeah, it's really good, really good. Lots of interesting, different people. You know, some agents, lots of parents of children, teeny weenies, and ready to come into senior school. So yeah, it's been really good.
And it's going to be quite tricky, surely, managing the working out what the return is, because sometimes it could be many years before parents actually sign up. How do you go about managing that?
Well, the trick is A, to stay in touch with the parents, B, to come back, because they will come back each year to the fair, see different schools, come back to ones they've already met. So that's what we intend to do, to keep coming.
Ah, okay, great question then. So do you find that parents come along quite far in advance before sending their children to a school like Framlingham?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, parents are thinking about their child's education from the moment they're born. And particularly if you're in London, where there is so much competition and so much pressure on parents, often what they want is to find a school which is academically aspirational but is not in the hothouse that is London. So we fit that bill. So that's another good reason to come. Give them an alternative to the London school.
And then in what ways do you keep in touch with those parents? Maybe they're coming along 3 years in advance. How do you keep in touch with them, you know, without feeling like you're harassing them? Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Well, we invite them to our open mornings, invite them to events that we're holding at the school, stay in touch, send them little snippets of information, updates on what's going on. If we know the interests of their child, we'll send them the information about those particular things, a play that we might be putting on, a particular fixture that we might be holding, and so on. Yeah.
I love that. Louise North, I'll leave you to it. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Simon.
I'm with Tara Reeve at Downhouse. Tara, you're a familiar voice on the podcast. How are you doing? And tell me what's new in your world.
Very well, thank you. Well, it's amazing to be here today. And it's so lovely to see so many people here at the fair. Really great. And so many people who are interested in boarding and boarding outside London. So all that time, space, the opportunities that are available in these boarding schools is just incredible, and Downhouse is no exception.
Now, you're Director of Market, Director of Admissions. It must be quite tricky planning for an event like this when you don't know exactly how many people are going to come along, do you?
No, and I'm actually going to an event after this, and my literature is already disappearing, so I'm not sure what I'm going to take to the next event this evening. But no, very difficult to know, but we always try and put a few smaller things together, so there's always something to give. And of course, even if you just have that meaningful conversation, direct them to the website. The website these days is the prospectus, in my view. So that's easy enough for anyone to find.
I like that. Tara, I'll leave you to it. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I've managed to track down David Wesley. David, the event today, there seems to be a lot of people here. Tell me about the build-up to an event like this. When people sign up to it, I mean, it must be a bit of a stressful time. How do you manage the numbers of people and how all of that goes? I mean, tell me something about that.
Yeah, there is a ratio of people that register to turning up, which has changed slightly since COVID. But there's a lot of guessing, and there's a lot of nerves, and there's a lot of there are a few dials you can turn the closer you get. But our database is actually the most precious thing, which is, you know, a very engaged audience of people that have kind of, you know, signed up previously or registering to come to the show. And we try to encourage them really to encourage their friends and their kind of parents in school to spread the word. Increasingly, obviously, kind of digital and social, still have some great media partners who have their own audiences and databases. And then kind of just really working with the feeder schools, so getting them to encourage their parents to come along and, you know, see all these schools under one roof and attend the talks. And it's a combination of all of the above.
And I imagine as well that to an extent the weather plays into this. If you get not very good weather, then it may turn some people away. Today we do have a bit of rain, but it doesn't seem to have dampened the spirits here.
No, there's several schools of thought on that. And there are still some intrepid croquet enthusiasts playing in the rain outside at the Hurlingham Club. Sometimes it'll turn them back in or what have you. But we've had all weathers over the 17 years of doing the show. Real biblical rain in some years. So I could probably kind of track it and come up with some data. But English summertime.
Interesting. I love all of this. Tell me something about, for schools that have never been to something like this, maybe they see other schools putting something on social media that they're exhibiting here, and other schools are maybe thinking, maybe we should be going along to something like this, maybe we should try it out, is it something that schools can try out, or do they need to plan on doing something like this sort of 3-4 years in a row?
I think kind of dipping in once and then coming out probably isn't. Yeah, if you can kind of strategize a couple of shows, I think that would be good, because I do think you just get the hang of it, and you know what to expect and you know what to bring, and all of that kind of, I think, you know, kind of you communicate that to parents and what have you. But ultimately, I think the obviously the sector's in for some choppy waters, and that's cyclical. We saw that in 2008, birth rate decline, and then obviously the VAT, the cost of living and what have you. And I would just encourage schools. I think that London is almost the demand gap that's being filled is actually by international families in London who have no frame of reference. They do not know what we know about schools. And so I think the school show is a really interesting access point for them. And increasingly they are very, very important. So to get your value proposition or whatever it is across, I'd encourage schools to get involved. And you know, I hope that bursars increase the marketing budget rather than otherwise over the next period, because we did see it in 2008, 2009, 2010. And I think you need to keep pushing, keep finding those customers. You meet one family, they then love the school, they bring their friends and family, and then you're into a new seam. So that's what.
Well, I think a lot of us share that hope that bursars do extend things. Yeah. But David, I'm keeping an eye on how busy it is. There's clearly a lot of people coming through here. Mm. I was hoping actually this would be a fairly quiet space for us to make this recording, but it's turned out to be very, very busy indeed. I hope the rest of the show goes well. Thank you very much for your time. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
I've got Irfan here from DLD, but soon to be joining RHS.
That's great.
Tell me, do you have an affinity of schools with three-letter acronyms? What's that all about?
It just seems to happen. Most of these schools here, RMS, RHS, DLD. No, I haven't got an affinity, but it's a wonderful school, and I'm really looking forward to joining them in September.
Now, clearly making a change like this in any job, but especially a headship, it takes a lot of thought. It takes a lot of guts, really, to change from one school to another. Tell me about the thought process that you went through when you were building up to that.
Well, very much so. It was a case of, I've done 7 years now at DLD. We've achieved as much as I can with regards to the number of awards that we've won, the results that we've attained, the boarding house being full, a real culture change at the school. And I felt I'd done everything that I could. And then this opportunity came up, and I was asked to apply at RHS. And I felt that, it's a fantastic school, steeped in history, lots of heritage, and it does things really, really well. Academics, pastoral, boarding, really big boarding as well. And I thought, I'll have a go, I'll apply. And then it got to the business end, and I was off for the post. And we then had to make a decision as a family and as a school in terms of DLD. And, I've been there nearly 7 years now and love being in London and what London has had to offer us as a family, me being a Londoner anyway. But the draw to RHS was something else. The site, the spectacular site that it's on, the facilities, the opportunities that the children have at the school. I just thought, this is something I can really get my teeth into. And so here I am now on my third headship.
So, last question then. At the moment, you're in that transition phase. You haven't left DLD yet. You haven't joined RHS yet. How do you bridge those two when it comes to things like the bigger picture, like vision and strategy and things like that?
My chair of governors at DLD has been absolutely fantastic. And the chair of governors at RHS. So they've been working together to allow me the time to work with the current headmaster, Simon Locke here, who again has been fantastic with his time and his words. So I've gone on to meet staff, spent some time in boarding, spent time doing extracurricular, spending time with the academics and various heads of department. And it's been really, really useful and an eye-opener on what needs to be done going forward. But it's been strange, but at the same time, I've had a lot of support from the family at RHS, and the family at DLD, because everyone wants to make this work. And so it's been really good fun. But yeah, running two schools at once, that has its moments. But we've appointed James Kidd, my senior vice principal, as a new principal at DLD. So the handover there has been very, very straightforward. And he is fantastic. And I know that the school is in safe hands and he will go on to do brilliant things at DLD.
Well, a good shout out to James. Busy times ahead, exciting times ahead. But Irfan Latif, thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And thanks for your time, Simon. Thank you very much.
I've got Magoo Giles from Knightsbridge School. Magoo, you've just been giving a talk.
Yep.
How do you get the balance right between giving useful information and not turning it into a heavy sales pitch like a used car salesman?
How do you keep it short, have some fun? What are we here to do? We're here to sell the school. So I think sort of have a few things up your sleeve that you're talking about and then sort of keep it short, I think is the thing.
So you've got a very strong personality. I hope you don't mind me saying that. I think most people would probably recognize that in you. For someone who's working in marketing right now, maybe they're working in a school and the head in their school doesn't have a strong personality. Maybe they are slightly camera shy, actually. How do you suggest they deal with that situation where the head of the school, maybe a great head for the school internally, but externally on camera, not so good?
I think they've got to practice. I think they've got to have a, you know, you can now go and do a course, which is quite fun. I've done that. And obviously, you've got to teach people who are like me as well not to talk too much and to say less. But I think the idea is be honest, you know, play to your strengths. My dad used to say, if you're not very good, you know, keep it short. But that's what really I think they've got to do. But, they, you know, they, if they're really good in sort of in the school or the classroom, everyone will know that anyway. So it's horses for courses.
Yeah, no, I like that. I like that. Now, quick question. You've got a badge here. It says Entrepreneur 2024. What's that all about?
Well, it's amazing. We've just finished the Entrepreneur, and what it means is that all the children get an opportunity to learn from all the entrepreneurs in the school. So that's teachers, first of all. It's a Dragon's Den situation. We then go to the, they put their ideas forward, they get selected, they go through, then they get other entrepreneurs from the parent body to come and give them some ideas on all the P's and the S's, sustainability, product, price, placement, etc. And then they get 6 months to go and make their products.
Oh, wow.
And then they come back and sell the products mm-hmm. to all the community. It's incredible. And we just had it. And they all got badges. They all got awards. And there's one overall winner. But actually, there's a winner for each category. But it's brilliant.
Magoo Giles, thank you very much. Thank you.
Thanks.
And now I'm stepping outside as I bring my time at this event to an end. It's been great being here. A big shout out to David Wellesley Wesley for giving permission for me to step into his event. He has no editorial control over what I say or what schools say. So what you're hearing today is straight from people's genuine opinions. Anyway, if you haven't subscribed to this podcast channel, then now is the time to do so. It just makes sure that you won't miss the next episode when it comes out. But in the meantime, thank you for listening and bye for now.